Hello and welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Toked Fantasy. Royal Ascot is just around the corner, but there's still a Saturday card to get stuck into from York, Sandown, Chester, and on Sunday we'll have a quick look at the Prix de Dijon from Chanty. My name's Sam Hart and I'll be getting the panel's opinions on all the weekend's racing. And who joins me this week, you ask? It's the Racing Post, Keith Melrose and Richard Birch, along with Mr. Toked Fantasy himself, Jamie Benson. Jamie, all roads lead to Ascot next week. What offers have we got on with the Toked Fantasy game for Ascot next week?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I feel like we've been marking time for quite a long time until Ascot, but it's finally bloody here, which is a huge relief. And we've got to play three out of the four days and get Saturday free fantasy offer. But more excitingly, so that's for all customers and everything like that. But more excitingly, we're doing a sort of a beat. We have beat Benson in the tournaments. We're doing a beat Keels and beat DJ in the Racing Post Private League. So all you need to do to get involved is just play a stable and enter the Racing Post Private League. And if you beat both of them, we'll give you a free go, regardless of even if they score bugger all beats bugger all and you get bugger all plus one. you'll qualify for your £7. So get involved, play, join the Racing Post Private League. And yeah, like I say, you can also see what Keels and DJ fancy that day. It's quite a cheap little insight into what they're backing. So yeah, plenty going on for Royal Ascot. And yeah, we just need to try and find those winners now.
Yeah, well worth joining the private league next week with Paul Keeley and David Jennings having a team alongside the Racing Postcast team each day of Ascot. So come and take on the Racing Post in the Toked Fantasy game. £7 to play, and you don't necessarily have to have winners to get in the money, although it does help. Let's get cracking then, gents. Seven races to preview on the ITV card, and we start off at York with a mile and a half handicap. It's the Queen Mother's Cup handicap for female amateurs jockeys, and it comes at 2 o'clock from York, and Kiavar tops the market at 4-1. Bolin Margaret and Dream Harder 6-1. Saratoga Gold 7-1. Impulsive One, Mosque of Anarchy and Yorkshire Lady 12-1. 14-1. Bar these. Keith, an open looking contest to kick us off with the female amateur jockeys getting their chance to shine here. Who do we like?
Certainly. Yeah, it's a funny old race, this. It's the daughter plotter, isn't it? Everybody gets their daughter up to try and get them a win in this race. And it's very much a unique race in the calendar. It can be a little bit of a jockey's race. You know, some of the jockeys in this are far more experienced than others. And the one that sort of came out to me a little bit that had, you know, a rider that's got that experience behind them and is going to suit the conditions was a horse called Postmark, trained by Milton Harris. Now, this horse has been jumping, but has got good flat form. You know, it's relatively well treated on his flat form, pretty unexposed in the sphere. Not run since last year on the flat, but recently had a spin round Warwick over in a handicap hurdle. The flat mark, it's not insurmountable in what this horse has shown on the turf, and you're available at a pretty chunky price that I can see at the moment. Best odds 14-1. Gina Andrews up. The draws, I mean, the draw never really matters that much in these races at York, but on the round course, but you don't want to be drawn too far wide, and he's in five here. Just a lot to like, and 14-1.
14-1 postmark for Keith. Birchie, it might not be the easiest weekend with most eyes on Royal Ascot, but talking to you off air, it seems like you've got a strong fancy here.
Fancy Bolin Margaret. Absolutely everything's in her favour. She had a blank 2022, didn't win during the year, so she's dropped a hell of a lot in the weights. She's still incredibly well handicapped after bolting up at first two starts ago by six lengths. She ran in a three-runner race at Haydock on Wednesday, started odds on favourite. And, I mean, I've watched that race five, six, seven, eight times, and it's just extraordinary that she got beat. She was the last off the bridle by about three furlongs and yet managed to get beat. And it's one of those races where I often say it about horses that I've backed that get beat, is that if you run that race 10 times, nine times out of 10, the horse would win. And this is a classic example. She didn't have a hard race at all. It was only 3 days ago. She didn't have a hard race at all because she didn't come off the bridle until well inside the final furlong. I think she's still very, very well handicapped. She's drawn in stall two, and I think she's a cracking bet. I really do.
Bolin Margaret, yeah, confident selection around 6-1 for Birchie there. Jamie, this is surely a race in the Toked Fantasy game where we can have our pick with the budget, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a reasonably open few races this time. And I'd say you can be pretty sure we'll be able to go under the budget. I mean, the one I like here wouldn't be troubling the budget too much, which is Noble Anthem. Talking about, you know, good riders, you know, Brodie Hampson would be in the sort of upper echelons of these. And Noble Anthem, I think, looks to have been sort of lined up for this in the form of, you know, you'd imagine Brodie would have this race circled in her calendar. And her hubby, Archie Watson, would love to deliver a winner, I'm sure. And he just had a bit of a sharp in the last time over 1 mile 2, having been hurdling before that. He didn't look to take to hurdling very well. But if you go back to some of his sort of early form as a younger horse, you know, he came fourth to Eldar Eldarov in the novice at Newcastle. Yeah, behind Eldar Eldarov that day was Post Impressionist and Honiton, and Noble Anthem finished in front of Thundering. Like, you look at that, that is unbelievably good form. And, you know, he's running here off a mark of 84, which I think probably underestimates his ability. You know, he's a star-spangled banner, so you wouldn't expect a mile four to be his ideal trip, but having seen him sort of not quite had the toe for 1 mile 2 last time, I think 1 mile 4 is going to be right up the street. And with Brodie on board, he's 16-1 shot. I think that is more than fair enough.
Noble Anthem 16-1 for Jamie. Let's move on to the 2:35 at York then. It's the 7 furlong Skybet Handicap, a class 3 event there. And oh my word, Darkness runs again. 5-1 joint favourite of Illegible. Limarty Dreams is 13-2. Wild Lion is 15-2. Four Tamor is 9-1. And double figures about the rest of them. I may stamp my foot on this race and try and get Darkness in as our steward's inquiry horse this week. Birchie, I'm a big fan of Darkness. He keeps banging his head on the door, especially this season. But who do you like in here?
Yeah, you've taken the words right out of my mouth. It's a hard race, but you'd be shocked if Darkness wasn't in the first two or three, wouldn't you? He's in stall 3, which is a good draw there. Horse is in absolutely top form. Two rock-solid runs at Goodwood and Epsom this month. Races up the pace, which is always good for York. I don't particularly like horses coming from well off the pace at York unless they're incredibly well handicapped. And he's just got everything in his favour. I mean, he's a typical David O'Mara handicapper. You know, runs often, maintains his form, and he's still on a mark where he can win off. He's going to win very, very soon. There's no reason why it won't be tomorrow.
Absolutely, yeah. For those who don't or haven't played the game as of yet, the Tote Fantasy game, the Steward's Inquiry that you can put on one of your horses boosts it up a place. And if you think Darkness is going to be hitting that frame, you could boost him up and he'll get the points for the place ahead of him. Keith, can you make a case for Darkness in here, or do you like something else?
I mean, you can obviously see the case for Darkness. It's lovely to see Charles Edgerton with a big chance on a Saturday handicap. Mm-hmm. He had that run at Goodwood in the week and doing nothing wrong at present. But the one I did sort of pick out here that might have a little bit more to give was Wild Lion, who was proven towards the end of last year, won a race at Newcastle in October and then went out to Dubai for one run. Didn't run terribly well there, but you know, it's a progressive horse overall. These Sayabin Sarur horses, they don't often take an awful lot of getting ready and getting back. They can hit the ground running pretty well. The cheap pieces go on because, if anything, maybe 7 at York would just be testing his speed a little bit more than would be absolutely ideal. But in a race where there's not many that are particularly forward going, I just thought this unexposed 5-year-old, an improving 5-year-old, had a bit going for him, and I'd be willing to take a wee chance.
Wild Lion for the Sayabin Sarur stable for Keith. Jamie, who'd you like in this one here? Probably another free rein with the budget.
Yeah, exactly. I think Darkness, as you're right, makes loads of appeal for Stewart's inquiry purposes. So I think that probably will be the way we'll go. He's only 1,250 guineas as well. So he's hardly going to bust the bank. And it's hard to see him outside the frame. Although I did say that about Mr. Wagyu last weekend. So I could be one of the great contraindicators once again. I mean, I'm going to take a small chance punting myself on Guido. He's been dropped a couple of pounds for running over what I think is probably a bit too far for him over a mile at York last time. He won at Musselburgh over 7. That's a sharpish 7. So I think 7 at York would be perfect for him. You know, that was off mark of 90. He's 94. Is he well handicapped? Probably. He's probably at the upper end of his handicapping ability, but 22-1 as he is at the moment, I think probably is the wrong price. So I'll probably be having a bit each way on Guido, but I suspect Darkness will probably make it into the stable with the Steward's Inquiry on.
Absolutely, yeah. Darkness topping the market at 5-1, but Guido, he has been a winner for us in the Tote Fantasy game before on this postcard, so yeah, might be a good each way bet.
One of DJ's absolute loves.
It was, yeah.
Had a beat at A1, so yeah, fair play, DJ. Thank you, bud.
Let's go on to the 305 then. It's the mile, 6 furlong Skybet race, the Ebor Grand Cup Stakes, a listed contest here, and Israel tops the market 7-4, Quick Fawn 2-1, Roberto Escobar 5s, Outbox 16s, Divine Jewel 25, Rhythmic Intent is 33-1, the outside the lot is Ching Shi at 40-1. A cracking little contest here, Keith, especially looking at the top of the market. Are you siding with one of the top three at the top, or could there be a minor upset?
I don't think there will be an upset. I mean, these are, you know, looking down the field, these are horses that are chancing their arm a little bit, and Outbox isn't, on all recent evidence, isn't the horse he particularly was. I used to like Outbox a lot. I loved backing him in a sort of minor pattern, mile and a half races, because he was very genuine and got the right sort of running style. Is this contribution here could just be to get in Quickthorn's face, I wonder, because they'll both be horses that'll get ridden from the front. So I don't know how that will play out. It could be an interesting one to watch. I just thought it was there for the taking for Israel, really. Mm-hmm. This is just a much lesser race than the one he was in last time at Newbury. You know, Haskoy was single figures for the Gold Cup, but has obviously got injured and been retired. And Bolshoi Bali, it was a Group 1 horse. Yibir is a very high quality animal. And all of a sudden, he's in this listed race with, you know, Quickthorn, who's, you know, a minor pattern horse. Roberto Escobar got his day in a Group 3 last time, but we know he's not a world beater by any means. You know, he's a 110 horse on RPRs at best. And the rest, you know, you couldn't make an awful lot of case for if you've got a horse in there that you're pretty sure is up to group class, and Israel almost certainly is. I think he'll stay. And even so, you know, this is unlikely to be the sort of race where they go end to end unless Quickthorn decides that he has to work really hard to get ahead of Outbox. So I just thought this is one for Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. Israel top of the market 7-4. Birchie, Keith's made a good case for Israel. I like Israel in here. Second behind the now retired Haskoy. Has to be the standout bit of form from this season, and probably the most likely winner.
Yeah, I've got nothing more to say, really. You know, I think Haskoy was going to be very good. Israel's performance last time against her was a career best. Stepping up to a mile and a six, probably more improvement to come, and might not need to improve anymore to win this. So, yeah, I think a very solid favourite.
Yeah, this could be a potential one to go on the list for our stable star here. Jamie, what price, how much is it going to cost us on Israel for the game this week?
Yeah, it's showing up at the moment as 3,750 guineas, which is fair old chunk, I'd say. That's a bit toppier than I thought it would be. I thought it'd be more like 2,500. So we might need to just slightly wait and see, because the prices can change a little bit between now and when the pool goes live. So that might be one to keep an eye on, because at the moment, Quickthorn is 1,750 guineas, which would make plenty of appeal to me. Poor old Keith damning him with faint praise. He's a minor pattern horse. He's won two Group 2s, Keith. Won by 14 lengths.
I forgot about that. 14 lengths.
But no, granted, he obviously got away that day, and it's easy to suggest that he was flattered. I kind of would like to go with Quickthorn. I was actually on Israel when he got beaten by Haskoy last time, so I was just sick because I thought he was gonna beat that, but just maybe the weight giving it away to the filly just told near the end. So I think whichever way you go, you could be pretty confident. I can't see anything outside the front two getting into this. So, yeah, it's going to be slightly price dependent. I wonder, we'll see what else we put up. But probably a tentative poke for Israel, but we might need to balance it out budget dependent.
Yeah, we'll have a look. Jamie will build a draft team during the show, and we'll be discussing that right at the end. So we'll see whether we can get Israel in. If not, we might have to rethink a little bit on that race, and we'll have a discussion with the panel with regards to that. Let's go on to the final race we look at from York. It's the 340. It's the 6 furlong Oakmere Home Supporting McMillan Sprint Handicap, a Heritage Handicap Class 2 event. And Quinault tops the market at 7-1. Washington Heights 9-1. Catch the Paddy and Quintus Arias at 10-1. 11-1 about Rabar. Eminency, Millstream and Pure Angel 14s and 16s. Bar. Last race we preview at York. Birchie, who are you with?
The key form line, I think, is the Newmarket 6 furlong handicap last time, in which Quinault won and Eminency was third. Now, I remember I was a preview in that race on here before, and I remember saying I thought Stuart Williams was a genius. And I didn't have a penny on him. I marked him down when he won at Brighton. I marked him down as a horse who was going to improve massively when stepped up to 7 furlongs or a mile. And Mr. Williams has kept him to 6 furlongs for his next 2 times, and I haven't backed him on either time. So I can't go in again here. But he's incredibly, he's still well handicapped because he's put Connor Planus on claiming £5. And when you look, he beat Eminency by a length at Newmarket. And yet when you take the £5 claim into consideration, he's actually £1 better in with Eminency from what he was at Newmarket. So he's got Quinault's got another massive chance. God knows what this horse is going to do when they step him up in trip. But at the prices, Quinault is 7-1 and Eminency is 14-1. I've got to be it with Eminency each way. I mean, he's been on my radar all season. He was very unlucky in a race at Kempton. Everyone was on him that day. He had a shocking draw at Windsor last time and, you know, ran again as if a race like this is within his compass. It's very, very competitive. I know it's silly to narrow it down to 2 runners, but I think both these are going to be there, bang there at the finish, and at the prices, I'm going for Eminency.
Okay, Quinault 7-1, looking for the 5-timer, but double the price is Eminency, who Birch you'll be siding with at 14s. Keith, who are you siding with in the sprint handicap?
Just a brilliant race, this. I've done the preview for it and noted that even though this is a handicap, since 2015, in all but one of the years, the winners ended up either the highest or second highest rated on RPRs in their career. You know, so the best horse wins, and it's a handicap. You won't get many races that do that. It's a really strong race, and as I say, one in the eye, that sort of angle for the idea that these sprint handicaps are like equine bingo. But this race, it's one of those rare races that's so competitive, I might not bet in it. You know, so there's 6 or 7 I could have a go at. The one that's top of my shortlist, and he's big enough priced that I think I will actually back him, is Garner, who's one of only 4 handicapped debutants in the field. You know, you've got 22 three-year-olds in here. You would think a lot of them are just coming into handicaps, but this one is, there's only 4 doing it, and Garner's one of them. Ironelli is a 2-year-old for the Charltons, and then he's gone to Archie Watson, and there were pretty good vibes when he turned out for Watson the first time at Lingfield. And Tully Doyle got a relatively easy time on the front with him. He still had a lot to learn, it looked like, that day as well, but the way he was backed in the race and the way that he went through it and the way that he finished it off, I just got faint good horse vibes. He's drawn pretty well in 4. He's not got too much competition for the lead on that side. You want to be on the speed at York, but, you know, there can be destructive interference if you've got too many front runners near around about you. Holly Doyle's great with these sort of horses, and yeah, I think he's the horse that I'm going to have in this race. But you know, he could run his race and finish 6th. It's that sort of race. But I just think Garner's the one that's appealing to me a little bit more than most.
Yeah, Unexposed Garner 16-1. Jamie, what I'd say is, look, if we find some of these horses at big price in these handicaps, we might be able to try and fit Israel in towards the end of the show. Who are you going to be with here?
Yeah, definitely. That's sort of the approach we'll be taking. And it is 750 guineas hit the field here, so we can be pretty relaxed. I thought Kino might be value at that, because I firmly agree with Birchie that form is the piece of form. Although he didn't mention the one I fancy, which is Washington Heights. He split both Kino and Eminency. And before that, he bumped into Shaquille. I mean, how unlucky can you get bumping into those two in handicap? So he's only up 2 for those combined 2 seconds, so I think he's set to run a massive race. But the one I like is Millstream. It's quite early on in a horse's career to be getting a cliff horse, but this Millstream might be forming one of those. He gave Noble Style a hell of a fright, and I really like Noble Style. I don't think we've seen the best of him this season. He was one of the best 2-year-olds last year, and Millstream got very close to him. I think 98. Massively underestimates him. I think he's a 110 horse plus. So if you're looking by Keith's reckoning of basically you're looking for the best horse in the race, I think Millstream is probably likely to be that. So Millstream for me at the price, but I think that Kino Washington Heights Eminency form is probably the secret. And maybe a trifecta combo, just keep it light.
There we go. So yeah, Jamie making a case there for Millstream, who, yeah, was behind Noble Star, and Noble Star will probably be heading to the Jersey Stakes at Royal Ascot next week. Now, that's it for York. Join us back in about 10 seconds' time for part 2, where we'll put all eyes on Sandown and Chester.
Play Tote Fantasy on 3 of the first 4 days of Royal Ascot and get a free go on Saturday. pick 7 horses and add your boosts for your chance to win cash prizes. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast with myself, Sam Hart, steering the ship alongside Keith Melrose, Richard Birch and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. We switched to Sandown now for 2 races, and the first of which is the 2:15 there. It's the 1 mile Aspleside 1728 handicap, a class 2 event. And Bodogon is the 4-1 favourite. New Dimension 9-2. Dutch Decoy 15-2. Helmrock 8-1. Baltimore Boy 9-1. Double figures the rest of the field in here. Another open looking race to kick part 2 off, Keith. Best of luck finding the winner here.
Yeah, there's a bit of that, but at the same time, you know, you've got 1 3-year-old that's coming in off a really promising run, and Bodogon maybe should be a bit shorter than sort of 4-1 the field in this. That run at Haydock, it was his first one up to a mile. It's a really good race, that Silver Bowl. The winner almost always goes off pretty short for the Britannia, and you imagine Covey might do that if that's indeed where he's going. I haven't checked, but Bodogon was right out the back that day, just going nowhere, 2 out, pulled wide to challenge, stayed on all the way to the line, just had no chance from where he was. You could argue he shaped as well as anything but the winner in that race. You know, he gets less than off the same mark. You would imagine the way he ran through the race that day, that a stiffer mile, which is what Sandown gives you, will suit him a bit more. And yeah, it's just one of those horses that I expected to see this horse 11-4, 3-1 favourite for this race, and he's fours. So that's why I'm erring towards him.
Okay, Bodogon for the Charlie Hill stable. William Buick taking the ride there. Birchie, what's the fancy in our first race we're looking at from Sandown?
Agree with Keith. Only thing that I'm not really a sort of trends man, but I did notice, I was previewing this race this morning, and I did notice that no 3-year-old has won this race in the last 9 years. I suppose that's a slight negative, but I remember doing an expert view column for the Charlie Hill Stable Tour earlier in the season, and when you get before that goes to press, when you get a list of horses, you basically get a list of horses and what the journalist has written, and you've got, say, I've got 50 or 60 horses, and you go down and you've got to find 3 or 4 horses that stand out, basically judged on your own interpretation of the horses plus the journalist's words. The one that immediately was Bodogon. It was pretty clear that Charlie Hills was really sweet on him. I remember him saying that Ryan Moore rode him when he won by 4 1/4 lengths at Newmarket, and he liked him a lot. Charlie Hills said that a mark of 87, he thought that was lenient. And exactly what Keith said, he had a terrible draw at Haydock, came from an impossible position. At the finish, there was no horse travelling any better than him. And the first two in that race are probably going to be group horses. So I too think he's got a fantastic chance of bottom weight. And William Buick's an interesting booking too.
He certainly is. Mr. Benson, could we have a hat trick of selections here?
Yeah, I think we do. I put him up when he was fifth behind Cubby. I think I actually might have napped him that week, which was obviously a £0 return. So it'd be weird for me to desert him now. And although I think he's getting a little bit short in the market, he's still only 1,250 guineas in the game. So I think we'll definitely be having Bodogon in the fantasy team. I can't desert him at that price.
Okay, Bodogon in the 2:15 at Sandown. Let's go on to the 2:50 then, which is the Molson Coors Scurry Stakes. It's a listed race there over the 5 furlong track at Sandown. And Great State is the 7-4 favourite for the Fahy stable. Perdica is the 3-1 second favourite. Tajala is 130, then we've got 16-1 and bigger about the rest of the field in here. The tricky 5 furlong course at Sandown for the Scurry Stakes. Great looking race this. Perdica, who looked really good out in Shanty. You've got Great State, who just knows where the winning line is. Tajala, who is unbeaten in 2 starts. Birch, is there any strong favourite here?
I think Great State will probably win, as you alluded to. I mean, he's an utter professional. He knows how to get the job done. He's improving all the time. I think he's on ratings. He's top. He's got to give a few pounds away, but I think he's still going the right way, and there's more to come. I think he'll be very difficult to beat.
Yeah, Keith, any agreement there? Is that the number one?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he just gives off those good horse vibes, doesn't he? He couldn't have done it easier when he won at Thirsk in May, and then he turned up at York 12 days later, and it was a very confident ride from Murphy as much as anything. And this was a horse that's still, you know, on the up. You wouldn't have said on form he deserved to be ridden like that. You know, went up 13-2 that day. Just a massive, massive improver. I mean, I don't think I'll ever have a max bet over the 5 furlong track at Sandown. There's a bit too much variance, but he would be right up there. I'll give a little mention for Yasat, who's coming back. She was a fast 2-year-old and was sort of fancied as sort of dramatised second early last season. But her season was finished by early July. She actually got turned over by the Platinum Queen. Unlucky for her, really, to turn up in a novice and run out of the Platinum Queen and didn't run after that. But I just think of there's not an awful lot of depth to this race. And she's one that could infiltrate that first three if she's fit and ready to go for this one. But that's trying to be clever when really there's a future group sprinter in this race in its great state.
Yeah, I completely agree with the gents here. And Jamie, this is where it might get difficult with regards to the game. There's a lot of confidence behind Great State here. What price are we looking at for this horse?
Yeah, he's 2,500 guineas. So actually, and I'm firmly with the chaps here that I think he's just a group horse in listed company, and even with a penalty, I think he goes and wins. So we can just squeeze him in and Israel. But I'm not going to lie, in the 3:20 at Chester, which we're about to come on to, we're going to have to look at something as 750 guineas or less. So if you fancy the Charlton horse, we might need to make some sacrifices. But we'll see where we go. Royal Dubai and Venetian are both 750 guineas. So if there are any fancies for those, that'd be much appreciated, chaps.
Yeah, well, let's move on to that next, shall we? We switch attention to the one race we'll preview from Chester, which is the 3:20 there, the Edinburgh Gin Seaside Handicap, a Class 2 event for the 3-year-olds. And I tell you what, looking at the market here, you've got Man of Eden, who Jamie said is going to be a fair cost in the game at 4-1. Taffrege is 5-1. Sophia's Starlight 6-1. Saxon King 7s. Royal Dubai 8s and 12-1 and bigger the rest. I want to start with you, Jamie, because I know how much you love previewing a Chester race. Give us the winner.
I mean, I spent all 3 days at Chester for the festival, and let's just say I learned a couple of things that I'm not sure many other people know, which is you want to be drawn low. ultimately you look down here, and I would actually quite like Venetian, but being drawn 12 is very tough to overcome. And I just think Man of Eden is the most solid horse. He's potentially incredibly well treated off 82, so it's not very helpful for our team. But if the lads fancy something at a bit of a price, I'll probably be backing Man of Eden on the day.
You know, Man of Eden's running tonight at Goodwood.
Is he?
Yeah. It amazed me because this is a £60,000 race, and the race at Goodwood's for buttons. But I don't know whether the plan is to win tonight at Goodwood and then come for this race or not running this race. I don't know.
That's not a very Roger Charlton way of doing things, I wouldn't have said.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the horse is currently around 7-4. I think it's the last race at Goodwood on Friday evening, and 4-1 in here for this race at Chester at 3:20. Bertie, I'll just lead on to you there as you jumped in. I mean, who do you actually like in this race here? Is there one at a price that you can potentially find us for the Tote Fantasy game?
Well, no. I mean, I'm the same as Jamie. I mean, if Man of Eden, I mean, if maybe the plan is for it to bolt up tonight at Goodwood and then come and win this 60 grand race tomorrow. I don't know. But at this stage, I mean, it's impossible to be dogmatic. Sophia's Starlight is drawn in stall 2. It's got bundles of early pace, improving filly. I could see her getting to the front very early on and making a bold bid to make all. I'm not really sure that she's quite good enough. And I think if Man of Eden was closing her down, I think she'd be closed down pretty rapidly. The other one, Saxon King, but he's drawn in stall 10. Horrible draw. So it's a real, at this stage, I mean, it's a really horrible race. It's one of those races where, you know, you're going to watch the race tonight at Goodwood and Man of Eden wins on the bridle, and you're going to immediately go on to Oddschecker or racingpost.com and see what price he is for this race, and you're going to lump on. At this stage, I can't tell. If I had to give a selection at this stage, I suppose I'll go Sophia Starlight.
Okay. Yeah, it's one where there's a fair bit of confidence around Man of Eden. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get him into our Tote Fantasy team, but we want to try and find our listeners' winners, and that could be the most likely one. Keith, you might have the last say here. I'm hoping you might have something that might be in the 750 guineas bracket for the game. Who do you like in here?
I'll do my best, lads. I've got one that's a bit of a price. But, I mean, what, Jimmy, what happens if, you know, a horse that's costing the favourite that we've locked in? So we go in straight now and we put in Royal Dubai, which is a horse I'm fancying. What happens if Man of Eden comes out? Does this price go up?
No, the prices remain the same.
Got a loophole in the game here, so we definitely got, we want to be putting in a team that's got something that's not Man of Eden in there. But Royal Dubai is the one. Did you mention he was one of the 750s?
He absolutely is, Keith.
Yes.
Lovely job. Lovely job. I do. Just a really unexposed horse. Those two runs in me, Dan, and then transferred to Botti. There was still needed the experience, I think, as much as anything when he won at Chelmsford. And the horse he beat in that race came clear with. It was a Shadwell horse, and it's come out and improved again since. Quite a fancied Jude Munch stout horse in third way back. So you can see why he might have a bit to come, and why 90 might not be an overly zealous mark to give him. You know, he's drawn in four, so it's a good draw. Ben Curtis is there. He rides Chester better than most. And, yeah, I just thought this was a little bit bigger than he ought to be. And given the circumstances surrounding Man of Eden, he just makes sense.
Okay, Royal Dubai at 8-1. Looks like he'll be the one going into our fantasy team. And we'll be getting that very shortly. After this short advert, we'll hear the gents' other selections. We'll get a selection from Keith for the Prix de Dijan. And we'll also find out who's going in our Tote Fantasy team.
Win without backing a winner. In 2022, the Ascot Placebot returned an average of £4,172 to a £1 stake. There's a minimum of £500,000 to be won in the Tote Placebot every day of Royal Ascot. Play at tote.co.uk. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast with Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Richard Birch and Jamie Benson. We preview one race on the Sunday. It's a Group 1 out at Shanty, one of their big meetings of the year for the Prix de Dijan, taking place at 3:05 out there, Group 1 over a mile and a quarter. A huge weekend for my good friend Christopher Head with Blue Rose Sen out there, and she's currently topping the market at 5-2. Running Lion is 11-4. Ponce de Jour is 4-1. 6-1 about Janaro's, 12-1 Never Ending Story, and 16's Bar. Say we're going to get a selection from you, Keith. We might not be, but we're going to get your opinion on the race anyway. Blue Rose Sen, the pre-Marcel Boussac winner, the Poule d'Essai de Pouliche winner. She looks like a superstar. She's stepping up two furlongs. Is she going to be tough to beat?
She might well be, you know, the way it's coming out, having won that race. I'm more interested. Why is Christopher Head your great mate?
Oh, no, I've just got a good connection out there. I was actually out there on Prix de Jockey Club weekend. I spent the morning with him on Saturday morning before the Jockey Club and was looking at all these horses. Blue Rose Sen, obviously Big Rock, who ran a mighty race in the Jockey Club. But I've just had this connection with Christopher Head. And what he said about Blue Rose Sen, I'll give our listeners a bit of an insight, is it just looks like she's got a little bit bigger and he thinks she's actually going to improve for the mile and a quarter. There could be aspirations to come to England, whether that be, you never know, Goodwood for the Nassau or something like that. We'll have to wait and see, but they think she's top class. They are worried that the likes of Janaro's, Ponce de Jour, they're all horses that come in here with plenty of wins to their name. So it is a tough looking race. Running Lion for the Gosdens is obviously an interesting runner. I'd imagine if they could have had Al Hasifa in here, the Goodwood winner from last Sunday, they would have. But I'd say Blue Rose Sen, she's going to be very tough to beat. She got stall one yesterday, which is ideal on the rail at Shanty. So I think 5-2 is a good price, Keith. What's your view on it?
Yeah, I would certainly say I'm surprised she's not fit. I'm surprised Running Lion's favourite ahead of her. I suspect that horse might be favourite based on Sheen Murphy's histrionics at the start in the Oaks. You're not forgetting them in a hurry. I possibly won't bet in the Dijan, but I had one of those really frustrating ones where you go through your race and go, I've found one here, lads. And then I looked and thought, I've not checked the draw yet, and it's in 14. This Elusive Princess is one of the luckiest horses in France this year. Turned up, she won her first few starts and then turned up in the Plea Cleopatra, which is a sort of minor trial for the Dijan, and finished second to Crown Princess. And honestly, beaten half a length, she was valued to win by three. Just got no run, had to go right the way out. And still, you know, she was sixth in the last furlong and finished second by Crown Princess. Now, Crown Princess is no mug because she ended up finishing second in the Prix Saint-Hilaire next time behind Jana Rose. But in between the two of them was, again, Elusive Princess, who had to follow through the winner. She got didn't get as clear a run as Jana Rose. Christophe Soudignon basically beat Barcelona to the gap, got out and won. Elusive Princess was closing at the line. Just a horse that's not shown anything like what she's got yet. And she's a horse I'm going to put in my tracker for one of these minor sort of French group races. I don't think she's going to be good enough to win the Diana at 14, but, you know, a horse that I thought, this is a horse I'm going to find, that they'll find a race for her at some point this year. But it's going to be a great race to watch. It actually is quite a deep Diane this year. It's not always. And it'll just be one to keep a close eye on.
Yeah, look, it's a very consistent horse and finished behind Jana Rose, who a lot of people are fancying. There's lots of money coming for the Soumillon horse, but there always is in these French classics. But Miguel Barcelona takes the ride on Elusive Princess, could run a massive race each way. I agree with what Keith was saying about running line. I'd say the horse is far too short. Some bookmakers have this horse as the favourite and some have Blue Rose Scent. It's a bit of a flip-flop. I wouldn't rule out Ponce.
Jana Rose is in here getting back because it's Soumillon and the draw's not been too
long. Yeah.
But you could honestly... Crown Princess got a terrible ride run through in a San Allery as well. You could argue Jana Rose shaped third best.
Yeah. It is a really fascinating concept. I can't wait to watch this race, actually. In Ponce du Jour with Buzan Muzabayev, if I can get that right on board. Jamie, I'll quickly come to you on this because I think you've actually backed this horse for the arc, haven't you?
Yeah, I was so impressed by her wins earlier in the season. I wonder whether the ground might be a bit fast. I don't know if they've had any more rain over there than we have here, but... If it's sort of on the quicker side, I wonder whether she might want a bit more cut in it. I can see her maybe getting slightly done for toe on Sunday, but then maybe having a bit of a mid-season break before coming back for the Arc. And I think the Arc with her as a three-year-old filly, she could be really underestimated and could put in a massive show. So, yeah, she's a horse I really like and have been following. And she would be my selection on Sunday, more out of sort of just continuing to show the faith, and I'd be sick if I didn't follow her, and she did win. But yeah, I think she's a talented horse. I think there's the 3-year-old generation in France, I think is excellent. You know, Ace Impact especially looks an absolute superstar. I'm so excited about him. But anyway, I'm slightly teaching you how to suck AIDS there, Sam, because nobody knows more about French form than you do, my boy.
Yeah, no, Logan, you've got to give respect to Fab, and Muzabayev is an absolutely lethal jockey out there. He's been so good since taking the role with Fab, so you'd have to give respect to that horse. But I'm going to be sticking with Blue Rose Sen in the Prix de Diane. Right, that's the race previews done. Now, don't give your naps away here, gents, but is there anything else listeners should be watching out for this weekend? Birchie, I'll start with you.
Hexham 5:30, Bushmill Boy each way. I think Connor Rabbit is incredible value for £7. The horse ran an absolute blinder over the course last time. That was 2.5 miles. Looked the winner, turning for home. Just got outstayed probably in the closing stages. When Connor's £7 claim is taken into consideration, he's £3 lower than that day. And the drop down to 2 miles is a big factor, I think. I just like the scenario. He's got a low weight. He stays further. Hexham's a stiff 2 miles. He'll be strong at the finish. I'm going to have a big each way bet on him. I can't see him finishing out of first three.
Okay, Bushmill Boy, that's in the final race at Hexham, the 5:30 on Saturday. Keith, anything else for you?
Yeah, a couple. 2:10 at Chester. Got a lot of old favourites, we'll call them. Copper Knights there. I think he's looked like a horse that maybe isn't going to bounce back this year. I would have fancied Ancient Times, horse I fancied in the dash, but we talked about the Chester draw earlier, and he's out there in 10. So I can't be backing a horse that's drawn that wide at Chester. So I'd probably put an absolutely flawless 3-year-old filly who's run twice at Chester, finished first, and the second time she finished second to Radio Goo Goo, who was on a roll at that point. Shaped better than the winner I thought that day, albeit the third I thought shaped better than both of them. And next time's her first time up against older horses, ran like a drain at Haydock. She was on the right-hand side of a group and she hung badly under pressure. It was the ground was very quick there last week. Maybe it was something to do with that. But you forgive her that run and all of a sudden she's nothing like a 9-1 shot. She's much better drawn than some of the other horses in there that you would otherwise fancy. So I'd go with her in the 2:10. And then the 5:25 at York. Royal Parades is the one that everybody's going to fancy because he won so well at Goodwood last time. Just worry about whether he'll find York a little bit quick, and old Goodwood's even faster, but he was right on his nerves all the way through that race. And it's just a much much lesser race than Gansifar has been running in of late. And last year, this horse was very progressive. For me, I don't think this horse was fully wound up until it ran in the race at the Dante meeting behind Bielsa. Finished ninth in that race, but only beaten three lengths. I don't think he's quite up to these top handicaps. But now he drops back into a 0-85, a track he's run well at before, off a mark that he's been basically worked down to. And yeah, I think I'll be taking a chance on Gansifar in the 5.25 at York.
Gansifar in the 5.25, the final race at York on Saturday. And also Keith has won in the 2.10 at Chester. And it's the Lily Adnis Condition Stakes winner from last season. Absolutely flawless with Probert on board at 9-1. Tote Fantasy Team time now. Hold on a second, Jamie. Have you got anything else before I go into this?
No, other than Ponce de Jour's 33-1 for the Arc still. So I wouldn't put anyone off that.
There we go, an anti-post bet for the Arc already. 33-1, Ponce de Jour. Tote Fantasy Team time now. Let's go for it. Jamie's been writing down the panel's thoughts and tried to put a draft team together for us. He'll now give us that team and we'll see if there's anything we would like to change. Jamie, all yours.
Yeah, exactly. So fortunately, I think we've got it nailed down. There was a lot of agreement and I think we've come in bang on the number. So hopefully there's no great objections. And I think this is a strong team. So I'll rattle through it. So 2 o'clock at York, we've gone for Bolin Margaret for Birchie. 2.15 at Sandown, we've got Bedorgan. Everyone was in agreement there. 2.35 at York, we've got Darkness, which Sammy will be delighted to hear, with the stewards on probably. 2.50 at Sandown, we've got Great State. Again, everyone, we've been able to squeeze him in. And we've also been able to squeeze in Isra, who's... although he's expensive, we've managed to just about get him in because Keith has done us a touch with Royal Dubai in the 3.20 at Chester. And then we've also gone in the last at York in the sprint handicap. We've gone up with another Keith horse in the form of Garner. So because he's only 500 guineas. So that squeezes us in on bang on the 10,000 guineas. And then if we stable star one of Isra or Great State, I think that's us done. Any objections, team?
Yeah, well, I had three that I would have suggested for the stable star was Israel, Great State, and Bedorgan would be the other one that I'd list there, because would we get massive points if that were to win and be our stable star, Jamie?
Yeah, so the thing to bear in mind is you get extra points for the number of runners. So if it is a big field, you could if it's only a 4-run and 5-run field, you can only get 20. But if it is sort of above 12, 14... you could get sort of anything up to 20, 25, 28 points. So if you then double it with your stable star, it's a real advantage. So, I mean, up to the crew. Yeah. I still think you're probably better off just trying to find a winner.
Yeah, that's true. Who do we think the stable star should be, gents? I think Stuart's inquiry is going to go on Darkness by the sound of things, but who do we want our stable star to be?
Well, it's a funny one because I like Great State most, but I think Israel's in the less deep race. So I don't know how we sort of see the balance with that. I think Jamie's more expert in the game than I am, so it's just a case of balancing up the one you fancy versus the one that's got least to beat.
I mean, I'm totally with you, and I think that Great State has got the biggest advantage, is the likeliest winner, but Israel, I find it almost impossible to see him outside the two.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's for that reason, because obviously that Sandown 5F as well.
Exactly.
Exactly. So whereas at York, besides Quickthorn doing something ridiculous again and getting given far too much rope, you know what you're going to get there. So yeah, I think Israel probably is the most sensible one.
Perfect.
Yeah. Are you happy with that, Birchie? Any objections?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No.
Lovely. Jamie, quickly run us through that final team then with the stable star and stewards inquiry.
Perfect. So 2 o'clock York, Bolin Margaret, 2.15 Sandown, Bedorgan. 2.35 York, Darkness with the Stewards Inquiry on. 2.50 Sandown, Great State. 3.05 York, Isra, Stable Star for double points. 3.20 Chester, Royal Dubai. And 3.40 York, Garner.
Lovely stuff. There you go. £7 to play on Saturday. Do get involved. Get in that private league. Come and take on the Racing Post postcast panel. Hopefully we'll have a really strong week this week. Let's get the naps then, shall we? Keith, I'll start with you. Who's the best bet this weekend?
Flipping round our stable start, I'm going to go for Great State in the 2.50 at Sandown.
No, that's absolutely fine. Birch, who's the best bet this weekend for you?
Bolin Margaret, 2 o'clock York.
Lovely. And Jamie, for yourself?
Millstream, 340 York.
Lovely stuff. Keith and Birch, I'm not going to see you or hear from you on the Royal Ascot previews next week. I'll throw a quick question. Is there one horse that you'll be looking forward to seeing at Royal Ascot next week? Don't have to make a strong case, but Keith, is there one that you're really looking forward to next week?
Entirely selfish, but I'm on McBahy at fancy prices for the King's Stand. He's come right in now, but yeah, that's purely selfish reasons, but it's going to be a smashing. We've got quite a few proper stars potentially in there, but I either fancy these shorties to look stars or have some wild swings at the fences, so it's going to be a week that goes certainly one way or another for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Birch, is there any race that you've looked at from Royal Ascot next week that you're excited to see?
I'll give you two. Elder Rov in the Gold Cup. I thought it was the absolute brilliant trial in the Yorkshire Cup. And Baybridge in the Prince of Wales's. I think this horse, I still can't forget the way he won that Brigadier Gerard Stakes last year. And I think the best is yet to come from him.
There we go. A few sneak teasers for the Royal Ascot previews next week. A couple from Keith and Birchie there. And that's it for this week's Racing Postcast. But next week, you have a double header coming your way. Monday, you can join myself and Jamie alongside Robbie Wilders and Chris Cook to look at the opening 4 days. And then join us back again next Friday, normal time, where we'll be previewing the Saturday card. Enjoy the weather this week and enjoy the racing. And remember to gamble responsibly. Thanks for listening.